Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the second wedding announcement of George Hermanus Boers and Catherine van Meppelen Schepping. The wedding will take place this coming Saturday in the St. Thomas Church at 1:30. We will sing together from Psalter 64, the stanzas 2 and 3. 64, 2 and 3. Let us now listen to God's holy law and God. We read the scriptures in the Gospel according to John in chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. John chapter 10, the verses 1 through 18. And after the scripture reading, we sing Psalter 2, 218, number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This morning we will listen to the word of the Lord Jesus in John 10, verse 27. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let us pray. Lord, it is in thy great goodness that thou hast again spared us, and that we, as people that have been privileged already in many ways, may come to thy house to hear again the gospel proclaimed unto us. It is thy great goodness, O Lord, that we may still be in the land of the living, and that we may still enjoy a reasonable health, so that we could come to this place and so that we may again receive the opportunity to hear what thou hast to speak. Many blessings we did receive already, and all the blessings we have received, they came to us though we have forfeited them, we must confess about all these blessings, O Lord, that they are undeserved and unmerited, and that we can lay no claim upon them. We have no rights, and all what we deserve, O Lord, is that thou wilt rebuke us for our sins, that thou wilt punish us for our sins, and that thou wilt withhold from us all what we need for time and eternity. Because by our sins we have made ourselves worthy of thy displeasure and thy anger, and according to thy just judgment, thou must punish sin with temporal and eternal punishment. Lord, that this still has not taken place, that there still is not this heavy punishment upon us, this eternal punishment, it is because thou art a long-suffering God. And in thy long-suffering and in thy forbearance, thou allowest us still to continue our life on earth. But thou also givest us the privilege to hear these things that speak about the Lord Jesus and the salvation obtained by him and the mercies in him. Thou art so gracious, O Lord, that we may listen not only to the presentation of the gospel, but we may also be called unto faith. We may be called to repentance. Thou showest in the proclamation of the gospel, O Lord, that it is thy desire, that it is thy will, that those that are called will come, and that the gospel, therefore, should not only be heard, but that the gospel should be believed. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt press it upon our minds and hearts, that we are indeed greatly privileged, and that also in this morning hour we may again receive the blessing to hear these things that speak about thy graciousness for lost and undeserving sinners. May the gospel have power and in power prevail with us. May the word be given so much power, O Lord, that our lives may be changed, that we may feel that power, and that it may so affect us that in mind and heart, in thinking and in feeling and in affections and in every faculty of our existence, we may be so influenced that we may by thy grace learn to walk in thy ways. Lord, in mercy, remember us when we listen to thy word and when the gospel is preached unto us. May the preaching be according to the meaning and the will of the Holy Spirit. And may we, when we listen to the word, understand it with spiritual understanding. Grant, O Lord, that there may be the true desire in our heart to receive the gospel, to receive it according to the needs of our souls. May there be a hungering and a thirsting in the hearts of many in our midst, to be satisfied with the bread of life and the water of life. And grant that in all this thy name may be glorified and thy power be revealed. O Lord, we realize that we do not deserve any of the blessings we ask for. We ask thee, O Lord, wilt thou nonetheless, in spite of our undeservedness, visit us with thy salvation and look upon us for the sake of the Lord Jesus, and out of his fullness give us all what we need in speaking and in listening, according to the difference, the variety of audio of listeners. Thou knowest, O Lord, exactly what is the condition of our heart. Thou knowest those that are thine. Thou knowest also those that are not of thy sheep. Thou knowest those that are unconverted, as well as those that have come to a saving knowledge of thy grace. And among thy sheep there is also a variety of need. Lord, wilt thou in thy mercy grant all of us all what we are in need of, and wilt thou, as the wise physician, deal with us according to the sickness of our soul. Wilt thou give us these medicines that are required for our cure and for our recovery, and grant us, O Lord, that we may learn to take from thee, to receive out of thy hands whatever medicine thou providest us with. Lord, in thy mercy, look upon us and grant us all what we are in need of. Forgive our sins, also the sins of the week past. Blot them out in thy grace, and wilt thou cover them in thy blood, O Lord Jesus. We pray for those that could not come to thy house, for those that are sick, those that are afflicted, some in the hospital, still, when the immediate is still in the hospital, O Lord, and she is still in need of thy continual care and thy help and thy presence, grant her all what she is in need of. We also recommend unto thee Mrs. Groen in one of the Brentford hospitals. Lord, look upon her too and grant her what she is in need of. And may she receive that grace that thou wilt not only provide for her physical needs, but also for her spiritual needs. Lord, we commend unto thee all those that are, for whatever reason, not able to come to the place where thy name is proclaimed and where we may call on thy name. We ask thee, O Lord, look upon everyone so that it may be experienced also in the time of affliction that thou art a God of mercy, and that especially in the day of affliction it may be experienced that thou art near to the soul that calls on thee in truth. Grant that to all those that mourn. We pray for those, O Lord, in mourning, for those that have sustained the loss of dear ones recently or some time ago already, and they are again and again reminded of the empty place in their home, the empty place in their family. Lord, wilt thou in thy mercy visit them and strengthen them according to their needs. And may it be experienced also when we sustain losses and when we are widows or widowers, or when we have lost parents, or when we have lost others that have been dear unto us, that the Lord is the God of mercy and that the Lord is the God of comfort. Grant, O Lord, thy blessing upon all what is in need of thy blessing. We may also thank thee for thy mercy shown unto the family Co-Smith. Thou wilt give them to remember in these days that they have been spared by thy hand as husband and wife for a period of 25 years. Lord, thou hast kept them together and thou hast blessed them together. Thou hast remembered them in all their needs. Lord, may they indeed experience that it is the Lord who has dealt with them in his goodness and in his kindness, and may they so learn to give all honor and praise unto thy name, for thou art worthy to receive all praise also for thy blessings in our daily life. Give them blessed days of remembrance, and wilt thou them and their children remember in thy mercy, and continue to be with them and teach them and lead them. Lord, for thy name's sake, we ask thee that thou wilt fulfill all our needs, O Lord, and that thou wilt remember us in mercy, not doing with us according to our sins, but remembering us in Christ and hearing our prayer for his sake. Amen. We shall sing now Psalter 52, all stanzas. John chapter 10 is that famous chapter in the gospel of this evangelist that tells us the story, the parable of the shepherd and the sheep, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus and his flock. And there are many instructive things in this parable, things that are instructive for us to teach us how the Lord deals with his people and who the people of the Lord are, some marks, some evidences of their being sheep are given here, and in many ways the Lord also tells us that he cares for them and what he does for them and how he provides for them, etc. But when the Lord Jesus has told this parable to the Jews, it is obvious that they do not understand him. At least part of the Jews do not understand him. For when he has done, when he has finished speaking about himself and about his sheep, then we see in verse 19 that there was a division among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said he had a devil, he is mad, why hear ye him? Others say, well, these are not words of him that hath a devil. And then referring back to what we find recorded in the previous chapter, can a devil open the eyes of the blind? It is obvious that the Lord Jesus has opened the eyes of the man who was born blind. Well, some of these Jews say, well, that's not work of a devil, is it? So there is division, but apparently not many understand the words of the Lord Jesus. And then probably the next day the people come to him and they ask him to reveal unto them who he really is. Then, verse 24, came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. So they come with the request that the Lord Jesus may reveal himself, and that he, without any parables or without any dubious language, will say unto them whether he is or is not the Christ, the Messiah, the one that has been promised of God. And then Jesus says to them that this request that they now make is completely superfluous. They should not ask him to tell them plainly whether he is the Christ or not. I told you. I have told you already. Many a time I have told you who I am. But your problem is not that I have not spoken to you, but you have not believed. I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not. And then the Lord also gives the reason why they do not believe. Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. And there the Lord Jesus picks up the same theme which he has been dealing with in that parable of the sheep and the shepherd. He comes back to what he has told them the day before, when he spoke about himself as the shepherd and when he spoke about his people as being the sheep. And then in our text he gives again some of these marks, some of the evidences of those that belong to his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So when we come to the words in verse 27, the Lord is not saying something new which he has not spoken yet. No, all the elements of our text we find already in the parable, in the first part of the chapter. Look at the first part of verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus has said in verse 3 already. To him, to the good shepherd, to the faithful shepherd, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. In our text he says, and I know them. Well, that was something he spoke already in verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. In our text we read that he says, the sheep follow me. That again was spoken by Jesus in verse 4 already. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. You see, these things are not new. He doesn't speak them for the first time. And nevertheless, they are so eminent importance, so great importance, that they have to hear them again. And not only they have to hear them and hear them again, it is worthwhile for us too to consider these elementary things of the gospel as we find them in our text. There are three elements in our text which I would like to deal with. There is, in the first place, that the Lord Jesus calls his people his sheep. There the text starts, my sheep. So the people of God are compared with sheep. That already is significant. Then in the second place, the Lord speaks about the privilege of these sheep. Their privilege is that he knows them. He says, I know them. And then in the third place, the Lord gives two marks of these sheep. And there is a mark on their ear, they hear my voice. And there is a mark on their foot, they follow me. So the first thing we look at is that he calls them his sheep. The second thing is their privilege, I know them. And then we look at the two marks, they hear my voice and they follow me. Well, there is then in the first place their name, the title he gives to them, my sheep. He compares them with this particular sort of animals. And you may say, well, that's always a beautiful illustration, that's always a beautiful picture, a shepherd and his sheep, and then the people of God being compared to sheep, that is indeed beautiful. Well, I do not deny that it is beautiful. I do not deny that this is a very special picture the Lord Jesus draws of his people and their relation to himself. But I think there are also a few elements in this picture that are not so flattering. This illustration was not used by the Lord Jesus to flatter us. Why not? Well, remember what sheep are. Sheep are creatures with many infirmities. Sheep are very weak animals. And the Lord Jesus, by calling his people his sheep, implies that his people are weak creatures with many infirmities and many frailties. In the second place, sheep are helpless and defenseless animals. They have many wants and they are not able to provide for themselves. They need someone to care for them and to care for them constantly. They are defenseless on top of that. When the wolf comes, when the lion comes, what can the sheep do to defend themselves? And by calling his people his sheep, the Lord Jesus implies that these sheep are helpless, that these people are helpless and defenseless, and that without his constant care and his constant provisions, they are lost. Oh, indeed, God's children are so helpless. They are so utterly dependent on the care of the shepherd. And then in the third place, sheep are not only weak, sheep are not only helpless and defenseless, but sheep are also silly creatures. They so soon are out of the way, turning to their own way. They have a wandering nature. And by calling his people his sheep, the Lord Jesus indicates that in his opinion and in his experience, his people have a foolish and dull nature. They need guidance, they need instruction, And because of the foolishness of their heart, in spite of the guidance and the instruction they receive, they are so often again away from their shepherd. David, who was a shepherd himself, but who was spiritually also a sheep of the flock, David says to the Lord, and he admits his silly nature, O God, thou knowest my foolishness. And that is what all the sheep must confess. Folly is bound up in their heart. And the problem with the sheep is, as soon as it is straying, it will never find its way home again. A dog may return, a horse may return to the place where it belongs, but a sheep, when it is gone, it will never return from its own accord. It must be found, and it must be brought back again. So when the Lord compares his people with sheep, that comparison was not meant to flatter the people of God. It tells them that they are nothing in themselves, and that they are greatly in the need of the care of their shepherd. Yes, indeed, the people of God are lost without the daily and the continual care of their Savior. He must feed them. He must teach them. He must keep them. He must protect them. And if he is not doing all of this and many other things, day after day and hour after hour, these sheep, these helpless, weak and wayward creatures will be lost. On the other hand, however, in calling his people his sheep, the Lord also reveals his grace bestowed on them. It is true, a sheep is a helpless and a weak and a silly creature. It is true, a sheep is dependent, a sheep is timid, a sheep is trembling. But it is also true that it is a great grace to belong to the sheep. You know, what is the miracle that is revealed in these words? What is the miracle behind this name the Lord Jesus gives to his people? That is the miracle of grace, for by nature no man belongs to the sheep. By nature no one is a sheep of the Lord's flock. The Bible compares the unrenewed and unregenerate man with swine, with dogs, with wolves. And indeed, those that are not born again, those that have not the grace of the Lord in their hearts, they are dogs, and they are wolves, and they are swine, and they live in the midst of a world with a doggish and wolfish nature. There is an attitude of hostility in the heart of the natural man. Hostility against God and against the Lord's people and against the Lord's ways. By nature, we do not follow the Lord. By nature, we have nothing but aversion against the Lord. So when the Lord calls his people his sheep, he implies that a miracle of grace has been performed by him, and that their nature has been changed, that they are no longer wolves, that they are no longer ravenous beasts, that they are no longer stupid dogs and unclean and dirty swine that wallow in the mire of sin. No, he has changed them, and he has made them sheep. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, he has given them another nature. He has given them a teachable, a gentle, a loving, a gracious nature. That's what grace has made them to be. And therefore, when the Lord gives them this name, he refers to the work of grace which he has done, which he has begun in their lives. And in this light, it is indeed an honor to be a sheep of this shepherd. It is a great honor. Whose sheep are they? They are the sheep of him who is the gracious shepherd. They are the sheep of him who first changed their nature and who made them sheep. And who is he? Who is the one who calls them my sheep? He is the Savior. He is the King. He is the Son of God. And is it not an honor to be a sheep of the King, of the Son of God? Sure, these sheep are weak. These sheep are defenseless. These sheep are wandering, wayward sheep. Nevertheless, they are my sheep, the Lord says. Sheep of the great King. And that is at the same time their safe. Since they are his sheep, they are safe, they are protected. Since they are his sheep, they have no want. They are well provided for. Oh, indeed, it is a gracious and a glorious thing to belong to the sheep of this shepherd. Are you among these sheep? When the Lord Jesus speaks about my sheep, does he then also mean you? Are you included in the number of them whom he calls his sheep? Are you? The second thing the Lord Jesus speaks about these sheep is that they are greatly privileged. And he mentions one particular privilege. I know them. Now, what does that mean? I know them. The word to know often is used in the Bible in a very significant, in a very meaningful way. It is not simply to have knowledge of, no, it goes much deeper. It is to know in an intimate way, to know in a special manner. In Psalm 1 it says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Now nobody will say that the Lord only knows the ways of the righteous and that he does not know anything of the way of the unrighteous. We all know that God knows everything. We call that God's omniscience. And in his omniscience the Lord knows the way of his people. But he also knows the ways of those that are not his people. He knows exactly what we are doing. He knows exactly what we are thinking. Nothing is hid before his eyes. So in his omniscience, the Lord knows everything. The Lord knows his sheep, but the Lord also knows that are not his sheep. So in our text, when the Lord Jesus speaks about his sheep, and when he says, I know them, he does not use the word to know in that general sense. Otherwise it would have no sense to say it. Then he can say, or then the disciples can say, sure, we know that everyone thou knowest. God knows everything. But what does he mean? What does he mean when he says, I know my sheep? What does it mean when Psalm 1 says, the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous? Then it means that the Lord has a special, a particular, an intimate knowledge, a loving knowledge, a distinguishing knowledge of the ways of his people. And when he says, I know them, I know my sheep, then the reference is to that special, to that intimate, to that distinguishing, to that loving knowledge of Christ. The word here in our text, I know them, is almost a synonym with I love them. It is a knowledge in love. He knows them because he loves them, and he knows them in his distinguishing love. He is intimately acquainted with them, and in that way he knows them. So the Lord Jesus refers to a special relationship between him and his people. He has given a explanation of what he means when he says, I know them, when in verse 3 he has said that he calls his own sheep by name. He knows them, and he knows them by name. He knows them individually. He knows them personally. And he is familiarly acquainted with all their particular needs and their particular concerns. Since the foundation, or before the foundation of the world, he has foreknown them. He has known them before time began. He has known them before they existed. He has known them as his people. He has owned them as those that belong to him before they ever existed. And how did he know them? How did he foreknow them? Because in love he predestinated them. He set his love upon them, and so he knew them. And then they were born, and then they lived upon this earth, and then the Lord came to them, visiting them with his gospel, with his spirit, renewing them by the power of his grace, owning them for his people whom he now loves, and to whom he reveals his love, and to whom he speaks. He calls them out of the mass of lost and fallen humanity. He calls them by name. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he deals with them in a personal way, speaking to their heart. And because of the intimate relationship which he establishes, there is that personal connection between him and them. And in that personal relationship, he in love knows not only their persons, but he also knows their needs. He knows their silent prayers. He knows the pain of their heart, the desire of their heart, their sighs, their groans, their struggles, their longings, their hunger, their thirst, and everything what goes on in their heart. All is open and naked before him. Their struggles, their sighs, their fears, their doubts, their temptations, but also their sins, their weaknesses, the times that their conscience condemns them, that Satan attacks them, their own inability to defend themselves, their poverty, their misery, their corruptions, everything he knows. Nothing is hid. And this intimate knowledge, this all-seeing knowledge of Christ, the shepherd, especially when that knowledge concerns their temptations and sins and weaknesses and miseries and corruptions, can at times frighten the sheep. But on the other hand, it can also give them great comfort, great encouragement to know that he knows them. Even when their heart condemns them, they may know that he is greater than their heart and that he knows all things. When they are confronted with remaining sin and inward corruption, then he knows more than only their corruptions. He also knows the desire to be delivered from corruption. He also knows the desire to be strengthened to do battle against sin and Satan. He knows their defeats. He knows their misery when they are defeated again. But he also knows how strong it at times lives in their heart, that the Lord may give them more grace and stronger faithfulness to resist in the evil day. He knows all what is in their heart, all what he has created in their heart. He has given them the desire to know him, the desire to walk with him, the desire to be delivered from sin,
the desire to be holy, the desire to be dedicated to his service and to his honor, the thirst and the hunger after righteousness. He has given them all these things, and he doesn't overlook them. When he beholds them and when he looks upon his sheep, he knows all of this. I know my sheep. I know their needs. I know their groans. I know their joys. I know their pains. I know there is nothing that can comfort them so much as my presence and when I speak to their soul. I know there is nothing that can give them so much hope and expectation than the experience of my goodness and grace in their soul. I know that nothing disturbs them more than when I withdraw myself from them. He knows it all, and he knows it perfectly. Oh, what a miracle to be so the object of the knowledge of that particular, of that special, of that intimate, of that distinguishing knowledge of Christ's love. To be able to say, in all the misery and all the poverty of the soul, to be able to say with David, I am poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh on me, but my shepherd knows my needs. Does he so know you? I asked you a moment ago, are you included in the number of those that he calls his sheep? Now the question returns in a little different way. Does he know you? Well, I am not talking, you understand, about the general knowledge of God, his omniscience. Of course, when we speak about the omniscience, we must say the Lord knows all of us. And there is none here in this building whom the Lord does not know. Sure, the Lord knows our needs. The Lord knows everything about us. Also, he knows those that are not his sheep. But that's not the question today. The issue is, does the Lord know you with that special knowledge wherewith he knows his sheep alone? In other words, the question returns, are you a sheep? I must ask that question, you know, because the Bible makes it very clear that not all are of his sheep. This same chapter, the Lord has said it to the Jews that came to him. Tell us plainly, art thou the Christ? Jesus says, I told you, ye believe not. Why didn't you believe? Because ye are not of my sheep. And I'm thinking of another passage in the Gospel according to Matthew, where the Lord tells that the time will come that he will say to some people, to a certain class of people, that he does not know them. The passage is found in Matthew chapter 7, where the Lord Jesus refers to what will happen when he returns on the clouds of heaven. And then there will be a class of people to whom he will profess, and now I quote, I never knew you. So there are people he does not know. And they are the ones that are not of his sheep. They are the ones that, to say it in the terms of another passage in the Matthew Gospel, speaking about the return of the Lord Jesus, they are the goats. It is remarkable that when the Lord Jesus speaks about the last judgment, he again begins to speak about sheep. Then again he compares his people with his sheep. And the sheep may stand to his right hand. But the other class, those whom he does not know, the goats that will stand to his left, they will hear not comforting, but they will hear condemning words. So it is important for us to look at that question. Does he know us? Does he know us in that intimate, in that personal, in that private, in that loving way? Or do we belong to those to whom he says now and will say in the day of judgment, I never knew you? Don't you think that this is an important question? Is it not an important question today, and is it not an important question when we will be on our deathbed? Is it not an important question when we think of that day of judgment that is to come? The day when all of us must stand before the judge, and then we will be consigned to one place or to another. We will be given a place to the right or to the left of the Lord Jesus. He will count us among his sheep or among the goats. That's a solemn thought, is it not, when you realize that the day will come that all of us will stand there, and then we can be only on one side. And there is only one out of these two possibilities. There is no third way. There is no neutrality. There is no not such a thing as having another chance or whatever. No, it's then determined where we will be, and whether we will be on the right or whether we'll be on the left of the Lord Jesus. Whether we belong to those whom he knows, or whether we will belong to those whom he does not know. How can we know that he knows us? How can we tell to what class of people we belong? Can we go by some outward religious activities, by our church membership, and by our church attendance, and by our prayers, and by our reading of the Bible, and by our attempt to seek to live a Christian life and raise our children in a Christian way, and by our attempts to be honest, etc. Can we go by these things? No. No, that's not what we need only. If we have only these things, we have not a solid, not a firm foundation to stand on. We have not evidence enough to confidently answer the question where we belong. Shall we now refer to the confession we have made and the promise that we have given in the hour of our confession to seek and to serve the Lord? Shall we refer to the moment that we have been baptized? Shall we refer to our communion at the Communion Sunday? Well, that can only be outward, can it not? So that is not enough. That's not sufficient ground. Shall I then refer to the experiences that I had in my life, and that there were some emotional things, and that there were times of intense prayer in my life, and that the Lord did rescue me from a certain danger, and that he did answer my prayers? Can I go by these evidences? Well, if this is all you have to conclude to the fact that the Lord knows you, you have not a solid foundation. Because, you know, these are exactly the things these people in Matthew 7 are referring to. The Lord Jesus will say, I never knew you. To whom is he going to say that? To whom? To the notorious sinners, to the Sodomites, and to the people of Noah's day that were all drowned in the flood? Will he say that to the people that wallow in the mire of their sins and that take pleasure in doing sin and in forsaking the Lord and in forgetting their Maker? Is he going to say these things to those that have lived in open sin, violating and breaking his law? Sure, he is going to say that to them too. But Matthew 7 speaks about another category of people. The Lord Jesus is going to say that to whom? To people that have called him Lord. They have said, Lord, Lord. That implies they have prayed. He's going to say that to people that have prayed unto him. To people that have said, that will say unto him, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not in thy name cast out devils? Have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? So the Lord Jesus is speaking not about public sinners. He is speaking to people that have lived a Christian life, that have done Christian things, things in the name of Christ, that have preached, that have prophesied, that have cast out devils, that have done wonderful works, that have gone through emotional things, that have had all sorts of experiences, and the Lord Jesus nonetheless will say to them, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. You see, it's not enough to have some experiences. It's not enough to have some privileges. It's not enough to be able to say, we have prophesied in thy name, we have stood in a pulpit, we have preached, we have done this, we have done that, and all in thy name. No, it's not enough. Even with all these things, a sinner can perish. Even with all these experiences, he can be condemned to hell. What then do we need? What then do we need? We need the marks of the sheep. How do I know that the Lord knows me? Then I must belong to the sheep. And then I must have these marks. The Lord has explained as being the marks of those that are of his flock. And he has given two. He has given the mark on the ear, and he has given a mark on the foot. Now let's look at both of them, and then after we have done, you may be able to know whether you are known by God or not. These are the things that the Lord himself gives as a rule, as a standard to know who we are, whether or not we belong to his people. There is in the first place the mark on the ear. They hear my voice. Now this word must be understood again in its context. The Lord Jesus has spoken in the parable itself in the beginning of the chapter about his sheep and about them knowing his voice, but he has also spoken about the stranger, and the stranger, his voice in verse 5, his voice they do not know. So there is a voice they know, and there is a voice, or there are voices they do not know. Now this is again a remarkable thing in the life of sheep. When there is that relationship between sheep and shepherd, then the sheep are able to recognize the voice of their shepherd. And as soon as they hear that voice, they obey it. When they are sleeping, when they are lying down, the shepherd comes, he calls them, they rise. When he calls them by name, one by one, they follow him. Now there is a stranger coming. There is a man coming who has put on the garment of the shepherd. There's a man coming who imitates the voice of the shepherd. And he calls the sheep. And the sheep do not hear. Of course, they hear that voice, but they do not listen. They do not rise. They do not follow him. He may look like their shepherd. He may be able to imitate the voice of their shepherd, and yet intuitively, the sheep know it's not he. And so they don't follow him. There is not that moment of recognition. There is not the moment of understanding. Now, and this is what the Lord Jesus applies. He says, they know my voice. They don't know the voice of others. They know my voice. Now, that again, and this whole passage is so full of material to preach practically, that again is of course a revelation of a miracle. There was a time that these sheep did not know the voice of their shepherd either. Why? Well, then they had given their ear to listen to strangers, to the devil, to sin. They followed the voice of their own evil heart, and they were doing the will of the flesh and of the mind. But that has changed. That has changed. When God made them sheep, he was no longer a stranger to them. No, he revealed himself unto them. And by revealing himself unto them, he gave them grace in their hearts, and he gave them that inner ear, yes, I come back on this. He gave them that ear to hear, to understand the voice of the shepherd. And by giving them that inner ear, and at the same time giving them that relationship, that bond, he loves them, they learn to love him. He has given them also the desire to be always with him. And as soon as he is there, they rise, they follow. Why? Because they desire to be with him. You see, the important thing, and that's what the Lord Jesus points to in the words of our text, the important thing is the recognition. They hear my voice. They listen to it. They are able to discern his voice in the midst of many voices. How is that? Well, that is because the Lord is able to speak to their heart. Is that not what the Bible says? The English translation has in Hosea 2, for instance, I will speak comfortably to them. Now, that is not wrong, sure, when the Lord speaks to the soul, he speaks comfortably, but the literal translation is, I'll speak to her, to their heart. And that is the thing that the people of God begin to understand and to discern. When his word comes, when his word comes with power, when his word comes applied by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't come only to their ear, but it enters into their soul. And it touches their heart. And then the word has power. Changing power, renewing power. Then in the midst of their afflictions and their pains, that powerful word of the Lord gives them relief. Then in the midst of their distress, that powerful word of the Lord gives them hope. Situation doesn't change. No, no. There is still the sorrow, there is still the pain, there is still the burden. But the word has come, and the word has changed everything. The word has come with power. The sheep heard the voice of the shepherd. And then everything looks different. It is not different. Practically, it is all the same, but it is yet different because now the soul knows the Lord is with me, and the Lord upholds me, and the Lord strengthens me. See, when the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, then that word comes with power, and so it penetrates. Remember this, it does not only come to the outer ear. It may come to the outer ear of many, of sheep and goats. But in the life of the sheep, it comes also to the inner ear. And there it begins to be effectful. There it begins to be operative. Their heart is opened. And so they receive the gospel. How does the Lord speak? How does that voice of the Lord come? What is that voice? Where do we find it? Where do we hear it? Is it in the Bible? Of course it's in the Bible. Sure, the Lord's voice is heard in the scriptures. There he speaks. But is it so that whenever we read the Bible, whenever we open the scriptures, that then we hear the Lord's voice? That then the sheep are able to hear? No, no. So often the sheep experience that they read, they read, they read, and it is as if the Lord does not speak to them. It's all words, it's all letters, it's all phrases, it's all chapters, and that's it. There is no specific sound in the word. They seek to hear the word from the Lord, and they can't find it. They can't hear it. Something prevents them from listening with the inner ear, or the shepherd has, for some wise reason, withdrawn himself and does not speak comfortably, does not speak to the heart. No, some other thing is necessary. Not only the hearing of the word, not only the reading of the scriptures, but the powerful application of the Holy Spirit. Do we not confess about the church that the Son of God gathers his church chosen from eternity? That he gathers that church out of the whole human race. And how does he gather it? By his word and spirit. It's not so that the sheep hear the voice as soon as they hear the word, as soon as they hear the voice of a preacher. All God's children know that there is a great difference between The one time they are taking up the Bible and the other time. There is a great difference between the one Sunday when they come to church and hear the voice of the preacher and the other Sunday. When they again sit in church and when they again hear the voice of the preacher, but then they also hear the voice of the shepherd, because he is pleased to by his spirit speak to the heart and make the word powerful and effectful. And then how sweet it is to listen unto that voice, be it in church, being in your private closet where you may sit meditating on the word and prayerfully studying the scripture. But whatever way the Lord is pleased to choose, whatever means he takes, he makes his people able to hear his voice and to recognize that. And that involves again a miracle. A miracle, yes, because by nature we are all deaf. We are all deaf. We don't have that inner ear. He creates it, though, in the life of all his children. And when the Lord then works that work, when he by his grace works in the soul, that hearing ear, that understanding heart, then he also gives the desire to sit at Jesus' feet, to hear him. Then he also gives some ability to discern. Oh, there are many imperfections. Oh, yes. But there is at least the beginning of this ability to discern between what's the voice of the shepherd and what's the voice of the stranger. Many of God's children, they make mistakes, I know. But somehow God has given them what some old man once said. He has given them feelers, so that they are able to say, well, this is the Lord. This is the truth. This is from God. And that I don't know. No, I don't trust. I don't trust it. I don't trust my soul to that type of message. Do you have an ear to hear? Do you have a heart to understand? I must hurry on, because there is another mark. Not only the mark on the ear, but also the mark on the foot. It's not only a matter of hearing. Sheep do not only hear, but the idea of this whole parable is that the Lord Jesus seeks to instruct his people in the necessity of following. Following. Of course. What is a sheep when it is in the fold, when it has a shepherd, but when it does not follow the shepherd? Will the sheep receive food? Will the sheep receive water? Will the sheep receive rest? No. To receive food and drink and all the rest, the sheep must learn to follow. And that is what the Lord Jesus, what according to his teaching, the sheep do. They follow me. Why do they follow him? I think there are two reasons. In the first place, they follow him because intuitively they know they belong to him. And they love him. They like to be with him. That has been their desire, that he would come, that he would speak. Is that not the desire of the bride in the Song of Solomon? Oh, that my beloved would come. Why? She longs for him. Why does she long for him? Because she loves him. And if you love someone, you like to be in his presence. She loves him, and that's why she longs for his coming, to be in his presence. And when the shepherd comes, and when the shepherd calls, and when the shepherd invites the sheep, they gladly follow him because of that relationship of love between him and them. They have experienced his love, and they love him in return. And so they desire to follow him, to be with him wherever he goes. It doesn't matter where he goes, if they may be with him only. That's the one reason. A personal reason, a reason in their relationship. There is another reason, and that is a reason which is the result of experience. These sheep, maybe not so much the lambs, maybe not so much the unexperienced ones among them, but those that have been with the shepherd for some longer time, they have also experience of how good it is to be with the shepherd. They have experience that when they follow him, when they stay close to him, he provides for them. Then he brings them in places where they receive the necessary food. Then he brings them in places where they receive the necessary drink. Then he leads them in pastures where they may take rest. By their own experience, they know how good it is to be with him. And for that reason, too, they follow him. Because they love him, because of that personal relationship, and because he so graciously provides for them. But the shepherd sometimes leads them in the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes the shepherd leads them in the way of affliction. Yes, yes, he does. Is the sheep not afraid? Sometimes the sheep is terribly afraid. Sometimes the sheep, for fear of the way of affliction, turns out of the way and seeks his own way, and it runs into all dangers and perils. But the nature of the sheep, the new nature that the Lord has given to it, is to follow the shepherd wherever he leads them. And they can only bewail, they can only mourn the foolishness of their heart, that so often they yet forsake the shepherd. They can only, to their own regret, confess, "Lord, my foolishness is known unto thee. I've gone out of the way again. I know, and I know by own experience, I know by thy grace, that it is much better for me to stay close to the shepherd, and yet I've left him in my own foolishness and ignorance." And they can only cry that the Lord, that the shepherd may find them again and bring them back again. Do you see something of these marks of the sheep? The ear mark and the foot mark. Do you see them in your own life? Oh, maybe you say they are so feeble. There is so often yet listening to the voice of a stranger. There is so often yet the following not of the shepherd but of others. Is that so? Yes, there is always reason to improve, and to reason to seek more and richer grace, reason to be made more faithful, reason to hunger and thirst stronger after righteousness, reason to hunger more for the presence of the Savior and his rich provisions. But is by God's grace this true in your life, that the Lord has taught you to listen with the inner ear? Is this what you may experience? Can you not be satisfied with outward privileges? Can you not be satisfied, not even with church going and Bible reading, but does your soul hunger for a personal word from the shepherd? "Lord, will thou speak to me? Will thou cause me to hear thy voice?" Is that the yearning of your heart? Is it the desire of your soul to follow him because you have learned to love him, because you have seen how graciously he provides for his sheep? "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And those that have these marks are the ones concerning whom he says, "I know them." Amen. We sing Psalter 342, stanzas 3 and 4.
Lord, in thy mercy, thou hast again given us an opportunity to hear from thy word, thy message, the message about the sheep and their shepherd, the shepherd and his people. We have seen what he is and what he does. We have also seen to a certain extent what they are like and how he has made them. O Lord, we pray that we may understand thy word, and those that are of thy sheep, may they receive comfort, O Lord. Those that have these marks by thy grace, may they receive comfort that thou hast made them thy sheep and that thou knowest them in all their needs, in all their struggles. And those that do not have these marks, they may have whatever mark they think or like. But if we have not the true marks, O Lord, wilt thou then open our eyes and teach them that something else is necessary, the true work of thy grace in our hearts. O Lord, bring sinners unto thyself. Turn goats into sheep. This is not possible in nature, but it is possible in the kingdom of the Lord. Turn wolves into sheep and dogs into sheep. Turn chaff into wheat. O Lord, by thy power, do that miracle of grace, and in thy mercy remember us. Forgive our sins, wash us from them, and hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. We sing Psalter 384, stanzas 1 and 5. Doxology is 195, number 3 and 4. Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.